Joined us here on Living the Good Life, live from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Thank you, Brother Ken. You always give us such a wonderful introduction. What a sweetheart he is. You can catch his Gospel Highlights radio program. It's an hour and a half right before we come on every Sunday afternoon. And yes, we are live here in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. Engineer Bill is in there in the control room, ready to go. He just slipped into the seat and took right over, didn't you? It's a beautiful day in Clearwater, isn't it?
Beautiful day, and like to say a prayer for the people in Arizona.
Oh, I know. That's just a tragic, tragic event that's happened there. And we just need to pray, continue to pray for the congresswoman, right, that's still living. Okay. And so we do that. And, you know, some of these things in life we do not understand at all, and that's one of them. You know, it's just been a very tragic event that happened yesterday. This is being, our show is always live, as I've said a couple times now, and this is January 9th of 2011. Wow, where does the time go? We are getting ready on Living the Good Life to celebrate a big milestone, and it happens to fall on Super Bowl Sunday, which is February the 6th, coming up in about a month. In about 4 weeks, we will celebrate our 200th show, Bill. Woo! All right. There's that in-studio applause. It is amazing to me how time flies when you're having fun, right? When you're glorifying God and enjoying getting the gospel out. And that's what it's all about. So we will be celebrating on February 6th with some of our radio team that are scattered around in different parts of the United States. They will be celebrating that day with us and some of our local Beacon people. So we hope you can put that on your calendar and not miss that day, February 6th, coming up, our 200th show. We're always excited to be on the air with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we'll have a couple of our radio team joining us later on in the show. Today we are concentrating on a subject that we began last week, and it's all about something that should hit you right in the heart, I guess, or it should really mean something to you and really help you in your daily journey with the Lord. We're talking about prosperity and God's provision for your life. We're talking about how God provides for us, what He desires for us. The title of the series that we began last week is The Power of Prosperity. And what does prosperity really mean? So we're going to be delving into it a little deeper today than we did last week. And we're going to get some principles out there to you. If you have a paper, a notebook, a pen, something that you can take some notes and write, it would be great. It will help you learn these principles of what God's true desire is for your life. So often I think people grow up thinking that God desires us to be poor financially, that God does not want to provide for us, and none of that it can be further from the truth. It is not true, those things that I just said. God does desire to bless you financially. He does desire to provide for your needs. God does desire the best for you. That is his heart. That is his heart. God is love, it says in 1 John 4:8. And the God we serve, God Almighty, loves us so much that he desires to bless us in every area of our lives. There's a familiar verse in John 3:16, and most of you are probably familiar with that verse. Maybe you've seen it up on on great big posters or whatever at ball games. Sometimes people do put that verse up. And John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And that's the heart of God right there, that he gave his only begotten son, "that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave. It is all about giving. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you're going to start talking about the fact that I need to give money to God?" Absolutely. And we're going to tell you why and what a blessing it will be in your life if you do that very thing. So don't let this topic scare you away from our show today, because you will be tremendously blessed. It will come back to you over and over again as you learn the principles found in God's word about your finances, about your prosperity, what God desires for you, what he wants to do for you, and what he wants to do through you to others. And it all goes together beautifully in God's plan, perfect plan for our lives. We hope you're doing good out there today. If you have a prayer need, we always encourage you to remember that we have a 24/7 365 day a year prayer team that will pray for your needs. And the easiest way to reach us is prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries. That's got an IES on the end of it. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. So I'll give that email to you again. If you have a prayer need, if you're sick in your body, if you're not feeling well emotionally, whatever might be going on, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you're having some financial crisis, reach out to us at Beacon of Hope and let our prayer team pray for you. We have a large prayer team scattered around the United States. And you can be actually a part of that prayer team by also writing that same address, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and just tell the prayer team there that you want to be put on the team and you want to receive the requests as they come in. Because as they come in, we have different people, staff people who get those requests and write a prayer concerning that need and get it out to the prayer team. So we want you to be a part of that ministry. That part of Beacon of Hope has been going on about 3 years, and we've seen tremendous answers to prayer through the prayer team ministry. And if you want to be a part of that, again, just write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Get on the prayer team. That does not mean actually that you have to come to our church, because there's a lot of people on our prayer team that are not actually a part of the Clearwater Beacon of Hope Ministry Church. So don't feel that that has to be the case. But if you are looking for an outlet where you can pray and help meet the needs of people in need, then we urge you, we encourage you, write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll get you on our prayer team. Listen to this first song by Hillsong, "Chosen as Mine."
Here I am, so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before sands of time were made. I love you still and always will. You're chosen as mine. My Father wants to bless you now. Receive from him all that you'll never need. Come spend eternity with me. My heart is full of love for you. I love you still and always will. You're chosen as mine.
in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them. You're so precious, you were on my mind as I just I am so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before the sands of time. I love you still. And that's my fire. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them. You're so precious.
Praise God. I love that song by Hillsong. Chosen is mine. You are chosen as God's beloved. He loves you so very much. For God so loved the world. We were just talking about that. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. One of the lines in Chosen is Mine says, my Father wants to bless you now. I love that. Dear one, if you don't hear anything else today in this radio broadcast, hear that. My Father wants to bless you now. That is the heart of God. God does not want you struggling. God does not want you not being able to pay your bills. And yes, hard times happen to everyone. Jobs are lost. People are laid off. There's been a downturn, a huge downturn in our economy in the last 4 or 5 years in the United States. And we all have felt the pain of that. All of that is true. One of the things that happens through hard times is that faith grows in us. You can't grow in faith unless you have a problem. You've heard us say on this show many, many times that unless your back's up against the wall, rarely do people reach out and just want to grow in God. It's, we really want life just to be smooth and no big issues, no big problems. God's word teaches us that it's through the problems, through the trials. There's that old song that we've done on the radio many times here, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God because that's how we learn to trust. When we need him and he is right there, he is all we need. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, you increase your faith by hearing God's word. So today on this radio broadcast, Living the Good Life, our prayer for you is that your faith increase mightily today, that you are more sure when we go off the air today than ever before that God wants to bless you, that God wants to prosper you, that he's got a plan for your life, and that it is all good. It's not that we aren't going to go through hard times, but God's plan is to bless you. And it says in Romans 10:17, that same verse I just quoted, but let's read it in the Message Bible, which I like to teach out of because it is that everyday common language that we all understand better. It says this, the point is, before you trust, you have to listen. You have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. So here's the point. We are on this air for a reason. We're on the air to get the word of God out there. We're on the air to teach you that God loves you, that he wants to bless you, that he has good things in store for you. Jeremiah 29:11-14 has been the theme of this broadcast for almost 200 shows. And it is this. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, plans to bring you into a good place, plans to prosper you and to give you hope." That is the heart of God, and that's what it's all about. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and that is the fifth book in the Bible, so it's clear back in the front of your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and listen to these words starting with verse 1. Here's what God said, "Keep and live out the entire commandment that I'm commanding you today, so that you'll live and prosper, and enter and own the land that God promised to your ancestors." Oh, these are some strong words that were written through the pen of Moses. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen carefully so that you'll live and prosper. If you take notes, write that down. This is Deuteronomy 8:1. So that you'll live and prosper and enter. Enter and own. That's the whole idea. The land that God promised your ancestors. You said, wait a minute, am I supposed to buy a house? This isn't about buying a house. Maybe you will, but that's not what God's trying to say here. God is trying to say that he's got a plan for you, and that plan is to cause you to live better than you've lived, cause you to prosper in areas in your life. Let's go on. The next line says, "Remember every road that God led you on. For those 40 years in the wilderness," you all remember that story, how the children of Israel walked around the same mountain for 40 years. Now, we have found out that had they just gone straight to the promised land, it would have taken them 11 to 13 days, not years. But instead, because of their rebellion, because of their unbelief, and so often, dear ones, we go around the same mountain over and over again. We go around the same mountain of poverty. We go around the same mountain of not trusting God. We go through this around the same mountain of making the same financial mistakes over and over again. And God is saying to us, you know what? You've been doing some of those same things over and over again for a real long time. Now it's time for you to realize that you are, number one, chosen as God's child, that he has good in store for you, that he loves you, that he wants to teach you what you need to know about your finances. And that's what we're talking about here. And it says here in Deuteronomy 8 that he put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. In other words, God allowed the hard times to happen. And I think we can all attest to that in our lives. There's been times in our lives that the hard times have definitely happened. And we have looked and we have said, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Most of what has happened to us that have been hard times have been decisions that we've made, decisions that have caused us financial stress or pain or maybe bad financial decisions as far as too much credit or whatever the case may be. Or maybe we just didn't give to God at all. We just thought, oh, okay, all this paycheck, it's mine. Well, we're going to learn that it's not all yours. How about that? Uh-huh. So he says, God says, "I fed you with manna." Now, we know he did this. For 40 years, he fed the children of Israel with manna, something neither you nor your parents knew anything about. So that, in other words, God is saying here in Deuteronomy 8, and I'm in about verse 4 or 5, God said, "I fed you every day. I fed you every day, and here's why. So you'd learn something. And here's what I wanted you to learn," says the Lord. And we all need to hear this and take it to heart. God says, "I fed you with manna all the time. I provided for you all the time. I provided for you." Now, sometimes we say, well, I don't like that provision, God. I'd rather this provision be just T-bone steaks every day and big, huge meals. And God says, wait a minute, that's not always the best for you. See, God provides for us. And he does it because he knows what is best for us. And for the children of Israel, they were provided for every single day. Now, I want you to look at Deuteronomy 8:5. He said, "I provided for you so that you would learn that men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth." Next sentence. "Your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't blister. those 40 years. Wow. 40 years, these children of Israel walked around the same mountain, and it says God provided meals for them every day. It says their clothes didn't wear out. I'm in Deuteronomy 8:5. I want you to follow along if you have your Bible. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't blister for 40 years. And it says, you learned deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the same way a father disciplines his children. And so it's paramount that you keep the commandments of God, your God, and walk down the road he chose you and reverently respect him. And then we're going to see about what God is all about here in the next line. Did Catherine just call in?
Hi, Pastor Marsha.
Hey, Catherine, this is a wonderful discussion, a wonderful subject, don't you think, Catherine?
Oh, yeah. I hope it's a continuation of the service this morning.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good. And it sounds like we're going to be getting deeper into it, so I'm excited about it.
We are, and I value your expertise and your contribution here. You've walked with the Lord all your life, haven't you, Catherine? You grew up in a...
I did grow up in a church environment, mm-hmm. a Catholic church, and come from an Irish Catholic family.
Okay.
But I have to say, it wasn't until I got into college and started visiting other friends' churches and really getting involved. You know what changed my life was a friend inviting me to a Bible study. So I would, anybody listening, if you ever get invited to one, just go, because I really never read the Bible or studied the Bible until that friend reached out and invited me, and that opened a whole new world for me.
Oh, it does. Can you tell them what happens, since you brought it up here, what happens in Bible study on Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope?
Well, it's an informal study where it's really looking at the layers of meaning in different sections of the Bible, and
right.
it's very much a discussion, a exchange of ideas and thoughts on that particular chapter in the Bible, and it's really can be life changing because we've seen so many interesting discussions and life testimonies come out on Wednesday night from what example we're reading in the Bible. So it's great. It's my favorite part.
You enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. I really love Bible study. I've learned so much and grown so much as a person by really studying the Word.
Well, it's by doing that we find out what the heart of God really is. When we really open up the Word and we look at it seriously, all right, let's look at Deuteronomy 8:5. You just tuned in,
I've got it open.
Okay. And, that man doesn't live by bread alone. Yes, we need the provision of our food every day,
Right.
But God knows we need that. And he mentions here in Deuteronomy 8, you know what? I gave the children of Israel their bread. I gave them their food every day. They were provided for. And it's rare that we even hear a story. There's a lot of people in other countries, I'm sure, that are very hungry and famine is prevalent everywhere. But people that are going without food. But for our purposes of this discussion, we're talking about people here, the children of Israel, that were going around the same mountain over and over again, making the same mistakes and not correcting their attitudes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And God was trying to get them to the point where they would realize that they don't just live by their daily bread, but they live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Can you kind of amplify on that, Catherine, or what that means to you?
Well, when I called in, you were just reading that, and I was listening, and I'm thinking, I know, it took them 40 years to learn the lesson that the Lord was trying to teach them. I mean, they must have been really kind of slow.
They were rebellious is what they were.
Which we all are.
Yes.
So the interesting thing is that God didn't give up on them and just stop providing them food, did he?
No. Isn't that fascinating?
It's fascinating.
Yes. And if we look at the next verses here still in 5, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister those 40 years. And you learn deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the way a father disciplines his child. You're a mother. I'm a mother. Do you want to comment on any of that, Catherine?
just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good.
Right.
Do you think that that's saying that what they had to do for those 40 years was God disciplining them?
Yeah, because they made choices at the beginning of that. You know, they entered into a rebellion big time the minute they got across the Red Sea, instead of being thankful. I mean, they did have that one, you know, praise service with Miriam, Moses's sister, you know, leading the pack and everything. But then they got into, Moses went up the mountain, remember? And he comes down.
Yeah, weren't they worshiping idols?
Yes,
and
they build a big gold calf and all that stuff. And they got into, and they started grumbling against Moses, and they were mad that they were out there. Yet they were out there with all kinds of provision, because the Egyptians had given them gold and silver and thrown their necklaces, their jewelry, everything at the children of Israel. When they were leaving Egypt, they went out prosperous. God provided for them, you know? But they got into that rebellion. And I think this is a key thing here, Catherine, because so many people get into such rebellious attitudes, and it keeps us from walking in the blessings of God when we walk in that kind of rebellion towards God. You know?
Yeah. Because when you think about it, how much better could they have been living, and how much more could they have been doing for God's kingdom if they didn't have to waste those 40 years?
Totally. It was all because of their own attitudes and their own behavior, because had they just graciously said, okay, God, you know what? We don't care what Moses is doing up on the mountain. We're not going to sit down here and make a golden calf. We're going to just pray. We're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to rejoice. But instead, they let their, you know, that flesh, you know, that nature say, oh, you know, the suspicion, the accusation, and all of that, instead of concentrating on God's provision, because he had already provided for them. As they left Egypt, they were filled, it says, with gold and silver and every kind of provision. You know, they had it right there. They had it all.
Yeah, it sounds like, and this, you know, we all can think of examples of this, but it sounds like that almost was not good that they were provided for with so many riches, because it obviously tempted them.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it wasn't good, or if God was allowing them. Let's put it this way. I think so often God allows us to go through difficult situations, whatever those might be, to see where our heart is. And I think that is what it says up here, a couple verses above that, that remember every road that God led you on all those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you, so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He allowed you to go through hard times. I really think, Catherine, that is what happens so often in our lives. We go through hard times, and God says, okay, let's see how you handle this one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's true. And unfortunately, a lot of times we fail, you know, and even, you know, I was watching a show a few weeks ago. It was like a live report, a real-life reporter reporting on people that have won the lottery and what's become of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just amazing, you know, to find out so many of them are worse off than they were before they won the lottery. You know, they squander all the money, they make poor decisions, and they're, you know, some more than half of them were, you know, wound up either homeless or, you know, in very poor conditions because of the decisions they made. And, you know, that could be a lesson.
Absolutely.
To them, you know, if they recognize it, it could be a real good lesson of what's really important. And if you're given prosperity like that, what do you do with it?
That's huge. That's an excellent point. I want to take us back to, I think it's verse 5, because he says here that he fed them manna, and something neither you nor your parents knew anything about, so that you would learn that men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Now, the point I want to make here, Catherine, I want your take on this. God provided for them, maybe not what they would have chosen to eat, but the word describes that manna as being kind of like a honey cake. It wasn't a terrible, awful tasting thing. Okay, it was probably kind of like a granola bar. I don't know, with honey or I don't know.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was pleasant. You know, it wasn't nasty. You know, and but in the midst of this, he's trying to teach them this, so that you would learn that men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. You want to comment on that when it comes to prosperity? Because I think that's critical here, Catherine, to this whole subject about getting ourselves to the point where we understand it's not about what you had for lunch, although hopefully it was good, you know? It's not about, what did you have for lunch, Catherine? But anyway.
It was good, a little hot, but good.
All right, okay. Okay, so I drove through McDonald's today. So anyway, it's not about what you have for lunch, but it's that our concentration really be on the Word of God right in front of us right now, more than our daily food, you know?
Right. I think that what we can really get from that is that bread is only solving a physical need that we have.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, no one on earth would deny that you do need some sustenance to live.
Right.
But we should look at it just as that. We need that to sustain our life, but it is not our life.
Exactly.
And our life has to be obedience to God. So the focus on your daily food is really, I shouldn't even say focus. It's not a focus. It's not a priority, because our priority should be obedience.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where, you know, our discussion today came out with prosperity, because
right.
If you're obedient to God, he's told us he will make us prosperous.
Exactly.
But I think when we don't have that obedience, then, you know, we may think in our own small focus that, I'm sorry, I'm outside in the helicopter for the
hospital
is flying over, so I've got to move so I can just hear a little bit better.
Okay.
What I was saying about prosperity is that if we're obedient and we are living on the word from God, then, you know, we will be prosperous. And, you know, that has nothing to do really with the physical needs that we have of bread.
Right. But don't you find it interesting that as arrogant, as rebellious as the children of Israel were, that still God provided for their physical needs? Because I want you to look at there in verse 5. Your clothes didn't wear out. Now, for 40 years, they wore the same outfits. Can you imagine? I mean, come on. Some of us, you know. Now, I've got a pair of jeans that I've had 20 years. So I will say that, you know.
Well,
that,
let's just hope they washed them during that time.
I think they probably did. But, you know, their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't blister. So that tells me that God was providing for them abundantly, and they had a good quality of jeans and T-shirts, right?
They must were very have been sturdily made.
Yeah, they were Gap. They were Gap or Old Navy or something like that. Okay, or Levi's. All right, and their feet didn't blister for 40 years. Their feet didn't blister, and all they did was walk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the point there could be that, you know, he provided that because he didn't want them focusing on that.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be focusing on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And learning something else, so.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And like we said, he didn't give up on them. You know, it took years for them to learn what he was trying to teach them, but he didn't. You know, after 20 years, he could have said, oh,
this is
they're just never going to get it. They're not learning the truth here. But he didn't.
He didn't. And Catherine, comment on that in your life or my life or, you know, people around you. Do you want to comment on that, how God feels about us and our learning curve sometimes?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't truly see the compassionate, mm-hmm. loving nature of God. That
exactly.
They, you know, we're all human, and the mistakes that we make along the way, I've known with myself and my life and different people along the way that have crossed paths with me, that you tend to focus on your mistakes.
Right.
And
the devil wants you right there, right?
Oh, yeah. And you almost feel like I've sealed my fate already. There's no, you know, why am I going to try to, you know, live a better life, or, you know, why am I going to try to fight this addiction when I've already blown it, so to
right.
speak, and
exactly.
I'm already damned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I grew up with a girl. This is in Catholic church, and her father used to, all the time when I'd be over there playing with her, I can remember this as a young girl, maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7, him saying, you girls do this, you lie, you're damned. You're going to be damned to hell.
Oh,
you're going
wow.
to be damned to hell.
Ooh.
And,
that's pretty darn strong.
I often wonder how that girl made it with that father always saying she's going to be damned to hell.
Ooh,
but,
wow.
You know, he made it sound to us that, you know, you make so many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lie is an example that stands out in my mind. And
right.
you're damned to hell. Like, there's no way out type of thing. And that's sad, because as I've studied the Bible more and more, there's so many examples of Jesus's compassion with people.
Oh, that absolutely.
Have, yeah, that have sinned over and over and failed over and over. And I don't think he ever gives up on anybody.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And I think it's the devil who comes and says to us, you know, well, you're just not good enough. You're not holy enough. You're not spiritual enough to receive the blessings of God, you know,
mm-hmm.
to whether that be a good relationship in your life, a marriage, a partnership, whatever it might be, a good job, a decent place to live. So often I think the devil comes and says, well, you can't have those things because you aren't holy enough. You're
yeah.
not perfect enough. You,
right.
you know, you don't trust God enough. You don't know enough scripture. You haven't memorized enough scripture, you know?
Yeah. You've fallen, you've made mistakes. You've fallen off, you know,
right.
Any hope.
Right.
And so, you know, it can become like an excuse. Well, why don't I just do what I want? Because, you know, I'm already damned. I've already, you know, sealed my fate. I can't get into the kingdom of heaven. I'm a sinner. And why don't I just do what I want now? You know, so there's all kinds of...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've heard that many times through the years from folks that I've talked to that have made tremendous mistakes in their lives, maybe addicts or whatever, and they feel like there's no hope and there's no way to ever recover from the mistakes they've made. So they just go deeper into it. That's
yeah.
what you're saying.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, that's not the nature of God, because look at verse 8 here. So here's what he says. So it's paramount that you keep the commandments of God and walk down the roads he chose. Now, that's talking about, okay, God has desires for us. He wants us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. That is not that we live perfectly, because, Catherine, is that possible? I mean,
no, it's not going to be possible in our human nature.
But you grew up in a Catholic church, and this is nothing against Catholics, but didn't you find that so often you were having to do penance or having to do Hail Marys or something like that to repent? As a form or to show repentance?
Yes.
Okay.
And you also were taught that you're being measured on your good works. So you were expected to do good works.
Wow.
You know, throughout your life. And that's, you know, in the big scheme of things, you'll be judged based on your good works.
Okay.
Not on whether you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Exactly. And when we do realize the simplicity of the gospel, that it is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and take it by faith, then we enter a different realm, a different area, don't you think, with God, where we realize that, wait a minute, God does love me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we take that by faith, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with prosperity.
Okay? Right.
It's the very same thing. Because
right.
I believe the devil has sold people, especially Christians, a bill of goods saying, you know, God's not going to prosper you or bless you or give you that good job you want or provide for you because you've messed up here, 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 and here.
Yeah.
Devils are the accuser of the brethren. Woo.
Yeah.
All right. I want to play a song, Catherine. Can you hang with me
yes.
a little while longer?
Yes, I'll be here.
We're going to go into verses 8 and 9 here in Deuteronomy 8. And listen to this song by Bill Gaither. It's an old, old song, The Family of God, because we want to make a point to you right now that you are chosen of God. You are his child. You are his beloved child, and that he loves you so very much. You're part of the family.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. Family of God. Now you'll notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad an orphanage to the house of the king. No longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Oh,
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood.
Praise God. That's an old favorite of mine. Oh, Catherine, you've heard
that. It's so funny because I was telling you about the girl that invited me to the Bible study.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she grew up in a Baptist church and had invited me to her family church, which is where we weren't going in the college campus. But anyway, I did. And that was one of the songs they sang.
Well, I mean, I grew up singing that. That's Bill and Gloria Gaither are from my neck of the woods, Anderson, Indiana, Muncie, Indiana. I went to Ball State. So they are friends of some friends of mine. And, I mean, they've given us a wealth of fantastic music that, you know, in Christendom that we have because of Bill and Gloria Gaither, but this is one of their songs that it just reminded
it's
timeless. Just how much God loves us, Catherine, that we are a family. You and I are a family, you know. We're all a part of this family of God, you know.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
And it causes you, and I'll just speak for myself as a pastor, it causes me to really feel protection, feel responsibility for the sheep at Beacon of Hope and those that maybe aren't locally with us, but are there a part of this ministry globally. And to realize that I have a responsibility as pastor to pray for these people, to give out the word. That's why we do this radio show. You know that we invest a lot of money in this ministry for this radio outreach ministry, and we do it because we want to see other people come into the family of God. Right. You know, yes.
We want a large family, don't we?
We want a big family. Yeah, we sure do. We want a big family. I love this verse 8 of Deuteronomy 8, where and Moses is writing this, but God's talking. It says, "So it's paramount that you keep the commandments of God." Okay. So remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What is it I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, this is Luke 10. Jesus said to him, "Well, how does it read to you?" Do you remember that, Catherine?
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, the way I see it, it's I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my mind, and my strength, and my neighbor as myself." And Jesus said, "You got it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Do that and you'll live." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we so often get hung up on rules and regulations, and we allow the devil to trip us up, and he robs us of our financial blessings, our emotional blessings, our physical blessings, our relationship blessings. Don't you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot simpler than...
It's very simple. Yeah. And so God says here, keep the commandments of God, all right? Walk down the road, he shows. Okay, the commandment is to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that doesn't mean that you ignore the commandments of do not steal, do not lie, and all of that. But they're really, when you're loving God and loving others, they're all encompassing.
Yeah, the others just fall into place, yeah.
Don't you think? They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, I love this next line. In the Message Bible, and maybe you can read this to us, you want to read verse 10, the rest
okay.
of that?
I think mine's a little different because...
Are you NIV today?
Yeah, and
okay.
Verse 11 for me is, but that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today.
Okay.
That's 11 for me. So I think you wanted me to read the next one.
No, read 8 and 9. Read 8 and 9. Go back.
Go back?
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Yeah, go back to actually, wait a minute. Let's see. Go start with verse 6 and go down through 10. That's what I want you to read. What God is promising us. Okay.
So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him.
Yeah.
For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water,
mm-hmm.
with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills.
Amen.
It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey.
Mm-hmm.
It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone, and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you.
Wow. Okay. That's what I wanted you to read.
Okay.
In the Message Bible there, the last two lines of that says, it's a land where you'll never grow hungry, always food on the table and a roof over your head. It's a land where you'll get iron out of rocks and mine copper from the hills. And that could be representative of whatever type work that you do, that God will bless the work of your hands, which he promises us that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that everything we put our hand to will prosper. So what do you make of those verses here, Catherine? I mean, here's the children of Israel. They've been walking around the same mountain for 40 years. They've been eating the same stuff, the same granola honey bars, you know, and here they are. And God is saying to them, wait a minute. If you do what I tell you to do, you love me with all your heart, you respect me, you keep my commandments, here's what I have in store for you. How does this apply to us today? Because I think that's where we need to get this, down to the personal for us today.
Well, I think the same thing applies today. I think he's saying we can assume that if you're walking with God and following his ways and fearing him and obeying his commands,
right,
then we can expect prosperity.
Amen.
We can expect, you know, to have our needs here met on earth in terms of, you know, roof over our heads, good food to eat, a job, you know, that meets all our bills. I think that we can expect that.
Amen. Amen.
And that we should be thankful for it when it does come.
Absolutely. And I think that, there, you know, God loves to do these, if you do this, then I'll do that type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he starts all this with, if you keep my commandments, walk down the road I show and really respect me, is what he's saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'm going to give you all this.
Right.
Okay? It's like a child saying, the parent says, all right, if you're really good and you don't backtalk, I remember this happened recently to one of my grandchildren, and my son said, all right, here we go. You have violated certain things, trust issues, so I'm taking your cell phone away. I'm taking, you can't do certain things. But if you do what I tell you to do without an attitude. This is what he said to her. If you do what I tell you to do without an attitude, if you obey me, if you are honest, don't lie, whatever, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to have this blessing, this blessing, this blessing. Do you know that she actually, a 14-year-old girl, my granddaughter, sat down and said, you know what? I'm going to do it your way. I was like shocked. Okay, because she's 14, for heaven's sake. You know, she's 15 now, but this was last year. And she said, all right, I'm going to take you at your word. You said that. I'm going to do this because I want those benefits. And she did. And she is like 15 going on 30. You know what I'm saying? She's just maturing because she understood these principles. So do you want to take that story and take it spiritually for us, Catherine? Because you're so good at this.
Well, was she getting into trouble around the time that
she
was getting into trouble?
Yes.
Yeah. So kind of like the...
She was disrespectful. She was...
Yeah. So it's kind of like the people with in the story here with Moses.
Yes.
The Jewish people during the 40 years. They weren't obeying the commands.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they weren't growing. You know, they weren't... You know, they had things taken away. They couldn't get out of the wilderness. They kept walking.
They had to eat the same thing every day.
Yeah.
That would really get old.
And
as
like
much as I love peanut butter.
You know, she didn't get the cell phone. So
right.
I'm sure there was a little bit of suffering there for
yes,
her.
Yes, there was.
And she decided that she wanted to reap the benefits, that it was worth it for her
right.
to obey the commands and get the greater prize.
Amen.
And I think that that's what happened with the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And because God said, okay, here's my promise to you, but it comes with something that I want you to do. It comes with a condition, okay?
Yeah.
And I think this is very important that we make this point as we study prosperity. Prosperity does come with conditions, okay? And one of the most important ones is obedience.
Yeah. Our nature is probably not to be obedient.
I think our nature is definitely not to be obedient.
Yeah.
I think our nature is rebellion. I mean, I think that is the fallen nature that we're all born with. I think that is the sinful nature we're all born with. That's our flesh, if you want to call it that.
Right.
And, you know, prosperity begins with obedience. When we say, when God says, okay, here's what I want from you. I want you to love me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now that might mean, dear one, that when somebody is offended by you or they've offended you, that you forgive them. You know?
Right.
And forgiveness is an act of obedience that so often opens the floodgates of financial blessing. I've found that to be true in my life. Do you want to comment on that, my dear friend Catherine?
Well, you know, that's what God's telling us to do.
Right.
You know, he's not saying that it's going to always be easy, but he expects us to obey all his commands.
Yes.
So loving thy neighbor as thyself, you know, I agree with you. That means, you know, forgiveness is expected.
Oh, that's good. Forgiveness is expected.
And
I'm writing that down.
I can attest to the fact that I've, you know, as a younger in my career, I could be resentful very easily, and you know, not forgive. And you know, I've been going through something at work over this last year, and have had, you know, some things that happen that I haven't been happy about, but I have always tried to forgive.
Right.
I can say that, you know, at this age in my life, I have tried to do that, but I can say it's really hard sometimes, especially when you think you're being mistreated and you're not getting a fair deal, and there's a person responsible that you can, you know, grab onto, that, you know, you have their face in front of you. It's very easy to feel resentful and you know, not loving thoughts towards that person that you think is creating,
right,
you know, unfairness for you. So it's not always easy, but I'm convinced that God always wants us to forgive.
Totally.
You know?
I totally agree.
And, you know, you may forgive that person and the person continue that terrible behavior, but at least you're doing what God commanded you to do.
Totally. Absolutely. And I'll go so far as to say that resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness that backs up within us can stop the flow of God's blessing on our life, Catherine.
Boy, you know what? I wish my memory was as good to look back on those times when I was really feeling resentment and hatred towards someone.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd love to have seen, you know, a financial graph of that year of my life. Probably it was really bad, you know.
That's a good point, don't you think?
Because I probably didn't have prosperity and blessings that year because I had so much hatred inside me. But I don't know. I've had a lot of blessings in my life. But
Doesn't Santa Claus say you got to be, have you been naughty or nice, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And we think that's, you know, Santa land and not reality, but there's a lot of, you could usually use a metaphor for that, you know, that's what God's teaching us to do in the Word is being nice.
Right. Because
we don't always feel like being nice.
We don't always feel like
He's telling us to be nice.
Well, this verse 6 says, it's paramount that you keep the commandments of the... How does that read in your translation, verse 6 of Deuteronomy 8?
So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, I think my relationship now with God, think of him in a loving, compassionate way, not as someone to fear.
Right.
But I think what this means here is not to... is not fearing him in terms of being afraid of him. It means fearing where I would translate it more in the seriousness of it, you know, that God's not saying this so that we can put it on the back burner and not take it seriously. It's saying walk in his ways and fearing him, meaning
respect is the word it means in the Hebrew.
It
means reverently respect him. That's what it literally means.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's not, and you know how it feels when you feel like somebody's not respecting you, you know? You don't feel real good about that, you know? But, and God's the same way. He goes, hey, you got to respect me. Wow. We are getting up towards station identification. Catherine, are you staying or you need to go?
I'm going to stay.
Okay.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right.
Letters to Lori.
Thank you, Bill, for that reminder.
I wanted to ask you a question, though.
Yes.
What was the name of your dog? The name of the dog that she's standing next to?
On the cover of the book? Greta.
Greta, that was your dog back
then?
Yes. Uh-huh. That's a little schnauzer, huh?
It's a miniature Yes, a miniature, just like you have, Catherine. Henry.
Yes, I have Henry. Henry and Greta would have gotten along.
Oh, my
great.
Gosh. Greta looks, you know, from the cover of my book, Catherine,
yeah.
Greta looks just like Henry does, yes.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for bringing that up. Yes, the book is doing very well. It's been out 3 or 4 weeks. It's letters that I actually wrote to my daughter last year. She's in minimum security prison in Indiana. Catherine, you've been my friend for a real long time. You know how hard this struggle has been for me, don't you? Are you there? Did I lose her?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Catherine's here.
Okay.
I thought he just said somebody else came on,
oh, no.
too, but I'm...
Okay, Connie's on now, too? Okay, Connie, yeah. you both know how hard
yes.
this whole struggle with Lori has been for me, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes, this has been a struggle for me, too, because I see her in those wonderful times, and then I saw her in those not-so-wonderful times.
Right, yes. Yes, because you and I have been friends, and you've been a part of Beacon since 03 or whatever, back in there. And so you've been through those times when Lori was a part of our church, and she was struggling with the addictions and the drugs. And you know, through it all, she's got a heart after God. That is what is wonderful and at the same time kind of sad, if you know what I mean, you know?
It's yeah, I always thought that
somebody.
A real contradiction.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Catherine, you go ahead, and then Connie comment on that. Go ahead, Catherine.
I always thought that I, unlike Connie, never had a chance to meet Lori, but I always thought it seemed such a contradiction because I would hear you talk about the struggles you went through her, but then always throw in at the end, but she has always had a heart for God. And
mm-hmm.
I just thought how strange that, you know, those are both attributes of the same person.
Right. It's true, though, isn't it, Connie? I mean, you can attest to that. You've known her for years.
Yeah, you know, the hardest part is knowing that what they have and how good they can be and what they have to offer people.
Right.
But yet they don't utilize it.
Exactly.
You know, and because of addiction or because of rebellion or because of disobedience, you know, it just keeps them from walking in everything they could walk in.
And that's been the case for Lori, you know.
Yeah.
But honestly, I was walking through my house yesterday and I had just hung up from talking to her because she gets to call me once in a while. And I was praising God because she's in a minimum security prison in Indiana, but she's in a drug rehab unit. She's been in now several months. She's got several months more to go. And they are on them constantly in this rehab unit for even wrong attitudes, you know? It's like the very thing that Lori has needed to work on forever, you know, some of this rebellious behavior in her that's kept her from the blessings of God, which, Catherine, you and I were just talking about that, and I didn't know Bill was going to mention the book, but isn't this what we're talking about that keeps us from our prosperity? Is it attitudes? I mean, Catherine, I'll ask you first, and then Connie, come on with your comments on that.
Yeah. Something that you said today in the service, too, reminded me of that about, oh, I know, you were saying how, you know, you different people's wisdom, you know, you complimented me on my wisdom, and
right.
and who does that come from? You know, it comes from God.
Right.
And when you said that, I thought, well, how many people do I know that have a talent, you know, whether it's wisdom or, you know, something creative or, you know, a different talent from mine, but they have a talent and they don't put it to good use.
Right.
And I think that's what you're talking about with Lori, that she, you know, you see the talents, but they're not being utilized. And, you know, that's, you know, there's many examples of that in the world. And it, you know, can you imagine what kind of world we would have if all of the talents in us were truly utilized?
Exactly. Oh, that's a great point. Connie, do you have a comment on all that?
Well, I've been listening since you guys started, and you know, you were talking about the Israelites and walking around the same mountain for 40 years. And I think Catherine said something like, who would just keep doing that? Well, I would.
Connie, are you?
Like, and I was, you know, I was thinking of my life and how, you know, I grew up in church and I, you know, I decided that, you know, things happen, you know, in my life, and I decided that if that's the kind of God that you know, somebody was professing to me, that I didn't want any part of that kind of a God, you know, so I decided I'd just go out on my own. And, you know, I was successful in my life. I did, you know, a lot of things. I accomplished a lot of things. But there was always something missing.
Yep.
And I think that until, you know, you can deny if there's something missing or a part that doesn't feel right or something about a relationship that you're in or a, you know, a friendship or whatever that you're in with somebody that's not right.
Right.
Until you acknowledge what it is, that there is something wrong, you know, you can just keep going on with life as it was. But the full blessings are there waiting if you just can break through some of that.
So,
thinking.
Exactly. So, it, like Catherine and I were just talking about, Connie, before you came on, if you get to a point where you realize that God has got to be number one in your life, that His will for you, His desires to bless you with prosperity in every area of your life will only happen when we submit to the Lordship of God in our lives. And we give up some of that stinking thinking and some of that rebellion and that resentment and that bitterness and that unforgiveness. We've got to realize that the blessings are there for us. Just like when my granddaughter realized, okay, my mom and dad aren't playing around here. I'm not getting my cell phone back. I'm not getting this privilege, and that privilege until I settle my attitude. Okay. And it's like a different girl. I'm not kidding you. They say so. I just talked to my son yesterday, and he said it's just all good. It's just all good. Because the realization hit her, okay, I've got to make some changes. And that's what's going on in Lori in prison right now. She is making huge changes that I don't believe would ever have happened if she was not locked up, frankly. Because she's been an addict 20 years.
She's being forced to make those decisions and changes when she was left to her own devices. She didn't want to make those changes.
Well,
just like we don't in a lot of things.
Exactly. Do you know that she got in huge trouble this week because she found a brownie that was sitting out that somebody had left and not eaten, and she just thought, I'd like to have a second brownie. And so she ate the brownie. Listen to this. And somebody saw her, and they are so accountable in their group meetings, you know? And she's bunked for 30 days right now because of a brownie, which means she gets to go to the meetings and stuff, but there's no free time for her to do anything else. But she's on her bunk because she made that rebellious decision. I'm just going to take this brownie. Nobody's going to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Woo!
I'd be in jail forever,
Bobby,
if they got me.
But you see, what they're trying to do is get their thinking of these addicts turned around so they are not thinking the way they always did. Like, I can do it and nobody's going to see, nobody's going to care. I'll just do
it. Yeah, it sounds harsh to us, but we're not drug addicts.
That's exactly right.
I can see where in that environment, it's part of the program, you know?
It really is.
Yeah.
So you can get my book at our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll pay for the postage. And we have just been planting these in the prison and in another ministry now in Muncie, Indiana, an AA ministry. We are planting these books and helping people, and we'd love for you to have a copy. And so you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and get that. And we're going to play this song. This is really, Catherine, you talk about sounding different. I'm a Child of the King. Connie, we're going to blame you for this rendition because you put it on this CD. Wendy Bagwell and the Sunlighters. Listen to this.
Once I was close sins, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Child with a heavenly home, my holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll sing with the child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King.
Praise God.
I'm a child.
Amen. I'm a child of the King. Woo!
You said you wanted old-time songs.
That's right. Connie, you did a great job.
That was good.
But you know what? I don't know of a song, really, that says that message that well. I mean, that is so cool. I'm a child of the King. How does that apply when we're talking about our finances and prosperity? Who wants to go first?
Well, I will.
Okay.
I mean, when you think of a king, you think of money, you think of riches, you think of gold, you think
right.
of palaces. And that, I mean, God is our King. You know, he's the King.
Right.
Think of King. And what royalty does is pass it down to their kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
he wants
what he has for us.
Right.
He wants to give that to us.
He wants us to inherit all this, doesn't he? He wants to mm-hmm. bless us. Mm-hmm. That's,
you know,
go ahead.
Story. You know, Doug was talking about success, going to that success meeting last year.
Yeah.
But years ago, I don't know if Zig Ziglar still tells the story, but he tells a story about this boy. I don't know if I can do this without crying, but a boy who comes into church and... everybody asks him who his father is, and he has no parents with him, you know, and he's in this church service. He sits in the back of the church, and he just comes in, and he's tattered, and, you know, he's not dressed well and everything. And the preacher, everybody was like, who are you? You know, who do you belong to? All this, you know, and the pastor says, I know who you belong to. The resemblance is there. You're a child of the King. and that forever changed that boy's life.
Amen. 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 That's what it's all about. Catherine, comment on that.
Thank you, Connie, for reminding me of that story. I heard that story years ago, and I have forgotten about it. That's a good one.
Connie needs Kleenex right now, Catherine.
Yeah, I know. I'm helping her out here. I decided to chime in because
she's
I hear that she's getting a little choked up. But that's a great story. And, you know, that kid, I remember the way he told the story. The kid, you know, he's thinking he's a nobody because his parents are dead, you know, and he has nothing. And here this pastor, you know, made him sound like he has the best parent of all because his he comes from the king, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
The good one. Now I'm crying. Connie has to talk.
Okay, so here's what we got to get down on the inside of us, my dear friends, Catherine and Connie. We've got to understand that we are children of the king. That God has blessings for us. I've been ministering that to my daughter Lori through that book and also through emails and phone calls and telling her, look, you know what? You are a child of someone very special. On the back of a book, it says child of a doctor, because my ex-husband's a doctor. I was a teacher. My dad's a missionary, you know, and then it says, like, how can this happen to in a family like this? Well, the point is, life does happen to a lot of people, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It can happen in any family.
It can happen anywhere. It's very common. But when we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, this is key to understanding that God wants to bless us financially. Because I've struggled with this. I've struggled with this, that prosperity and financial blessing is the result of good works. And Catherine, we were kind of talking about this a little earlier, weren't we?
Yes.
Okay. So, Connie, we'll take your take on that. I mean, prosperity being the result of us being perfect enough and so forth, because somebody out there in Radio Land needs to hear this right this moment, that God wants to prosper them, and it's not about that. But go ahead. I'll let you say that.
No, it's not about that, but it's about taking your God-given authority and taking your rightful place in the royal kingdom.
Amen.
Because, you know, just because you're not, maybe because you don't have a job or because you're divorced or you're trying to get out of a relationship or what, you know, whatever the case is, doesn't mean that you're not worthy of receiving what the very, very best that God has to offer. All
Ooh,
of
amen.
And it's not like that because maybe I get a blessing that I've taken it away. There's blessings everywhere for everybody all the time.
Exactly. So often,
you know, it has a limit.
No. But I think we kind of put God in a box and we expect the blessing to look a certain way, the present to look a certain way. Have you ever gotten a present at Christmas that you opened it? I used to get these from my mother years ago that were like, oh, that's not cute.
Yeah, we've seen yours on our white elephant days.
And some of the presents I've gotten, you know, have been like, man. I just got rid of a bunch of those kind of blouses that my mama had bought that were just like, that looks like you, Mom, not me, you know? But anyway, Catherine, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we were saying before, too, that if you don't feel, you know, that you're part of God's family, then you don't believe in that promise that he wants to bless you abundantly.
Right.
So I think it all goes back to,
yes,
you know, believing you're part of the family of God. Because once you truly believe that deep down, then you'll, you know, be in the Word and you'll grow to understand that he wants abundant blessings for you.
I totally agree. So what do you two think about this statement? God's blessing is your right. It's your inheritance.
Well, I think, you know, I was just thinking as you guys were talking, it's a little bit like an allowance, but not so many strings attached, like when your parents put all those strings on you.
Yeah.
If you clean this, do that, if you stand on one foot and all that.
Yeah.
But there are some things that we do have to do.
Right.
Or not do in order to stay eligible for the blessing.
Exactly. Yes, there are.
Like, you know, we have to be able to, as hard as it is, forgiveness, or be able to forgive. You know, there's just some people you think that you just can't forgive.
Right.
For some of the things, and learning how to do that, walking in forgiveness, and walking in obedience.
Exactly.
I mean, we know how we're supposed to, you know, behave a certain way. And, I mean, you know, to an extent. And uphold the commandments and, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of living.
We do know that, but the problem is we so often don't. Catherine, did you have a comment on that before we talk for a second about Mark chapter 6, verse 30, about the feeding of the 5,000?
I didn't hear the last part of what Connie said.
Basically, she was saying, oh, yeah, we're getting a little bit of static there. Okay, basically.
Well, I'm just getting ready to go across the bridge, so I might lose you, and I'll have to call back in.
Okay. Basically, she was saying that, yes, the blessings of Abraham and the blessings of God are ours, but there are those conditions that you and I were talking about earlier in the show, Catherine, about forgiveness and about loving the Lord our God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, the disciples had been out ministering and praying for people and preaching and teaching, and they came back to rendezvous with Jesus in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And Jesus said, come on, let's take a little vacation. Let's get off by ourselves and rest, which is always a good thing to do when you're in the ministry. And so they went to a remote area, but the people heard that they were doing that. And they started, it says here in verse 32 of Mark 6, that from the surrounding towns, people went out on foot running and they got there ahead of them. And when Jesus arrived, he saw the huge crowd. At the sight of them, his heart broke like sheep with no shepherd. He went right to work teaching them. What does that say about the character of God, even with our finances, Catherine? What does it say about, you know, the character of Jesus, who is the representation of God the Father?
I think it shows his compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
And that he always wants us to have our needs taken care of. He doesn't want us to have any anxiety over finances, over food, over, you know, roof over our head or where our food's coming from. He wants us to be taken care of. That's what he wants for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so in about verse 35, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, it's been a long day and we're way out in the country. It's very late. We want you to pray the final prayer, pronounce a benediction, and send these folks somewhere so they can go get their supper. You know, and what do you think was the attitude of the disciples here? Connie, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Connie, what do you think was the attitude of the disciples here? Do you think they were just worn out from the long day, maybe? I mean.
It's kind of what you said was kind of garbled, but I think you said what was the attitude of the disciples?
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of garbled, too, there.
Okay. Is the name better yet?
It's getting better.
Over the bridge.
Okay, it's getting a little bit better. So wait a minute, Connie. We'll get your comment in a minute. Catherine, go ahead with that.
I think that there were so many people there that the apostles were concerned on how, you know, that they didn't want to take on the responsibility of feeding them. They wanted them to go fend for themselves, so to speak.
Right.
And it was interesting what Jesus's, you know, reply to that was. He put it back on them and said, "You feed them."
Yeah, and then they said, "Are you serious? You want us to go spend a fortune on food for all these people? You got to be kidding!" Now we're going to find out the plan that Jesus had. Before we do that, let's go to this Selah song, "His Eyes on the Sparrow."
Discouraged, why do the shadows come, and why does my heart feel lonely in love? heaven and home. When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
His eye
beautiful
is on the sparrow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, Catherine, what were you thinking through that in relation to this story of all these people that are sitting out there? 5,000 men, it says, plus women and children. So 15, 20,000 people are sitting there. And what happened in this story? You want to tell us that? And, you know, I never even finished this morning because we got into this. You know, I never even got to the last part of it, that what God did. But go ahead. Talk to us.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
The overwhelming numbers there, you know.
Yeah.
And Jesus saying to the apostles, you feed them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they must have thought, you know, yeah. Right. We're gonna feed them. So what looked like an impossibility wasn't an impossibility for Jesus.
Woo.
And they just had to believe,
right,
that, you know, he was gonna feed them, and of course he did. It's just an amazing story. Are you still there, Connie?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna go off.
Thank you, Catherine.
Let you guys do that. I know it's hard going back and forth between both of us, but
that's okay.
It's an awesome show, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for being on today, Catherine, and thanks for pointing all that out, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. All right, Connie. So they found, Jesus said, well, what do you have? And they said, well, yeah, our resources are like really low here. We've got 5 little loaves of bread, and we have 2 fish. Now, I can imagine what was going through those guys' minds. Can't you?
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, I think about, as you know, part of being my job is being on the board of directors of the church.
Right.
And I have to kind of think that, you know, there are some times where it's funny because I've never thought of it this way, but it brought to mind, you know, there's the church.
Right.
There's the business of the church, and then there's the church as a business. And
true.
So part of the board is the deacons and all in some of the other churches,
right.
Their job is to maintain that business.
Right.
And so it would be just like to think us who are not, maybe the pastor or the pastoral staff or somebody who doesn't understand what the actual ministry is as much, it would be just like us to say, well, wait a minute, we only have so much, we've got these bills coming up and we've got this, we've got to travel here. And I can just see them thinking, we've got to have money to go where we've got to go because he's going to take us different places.
Right.
And he wants us to spend all this money on these people to eat today.
Right. It doesn't say that they said we don't have the money,
Right. Right.
They must have had the money to feed that many people. I mean, Jesus was not poor like a lot of people think he was. There were people that constantly gave to his ministry, and that's noted.
He just he wasn't one who just, lived extravagantly.
No.
Because he used his resources for the people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he lived out in the countryside most of the time, So, he probably wasn't staying in hotels, that's for sure, But it's interesting here, I think, that Jesus turns the question around to the disciples, Connie, and he says, what do you have? What do you have that you can do something with? And this whole topic of giving, it starts with what we have. I mean, even if all you have is a Social Security check, you have something.
What you do have at the moment, start from where you are at that moment.
Exactly.
And then build from there.
Right.
But do you really think how long have they been ministering? Do you think they really understood what his ministry was about by then yet?
I don't think so. I think this is early on in the book of Mark, and I don't think that... I mean, there's a lot of things that hadn't happened yet,
Yeah, because I was thinking that, if they've been hanging around with him and seen some of the other things he's done, I would just have said, oh, let's see what we have. And then, look at how, all the stories, how he multiplied things, turned the water into wine for the wedding and, all those things. And it was almost like a V8 moment. Who are we with anyway?
Right, exactly. Yes. But
and they probably hadn't really known, realized who he was yet. A few of them did.
No, I totally agree with you. I think this is the first feeding. He actually did two mass feedings of people. The second one is called the Supper for the 4,000. This one's the Supper for the 5,000. But, this is, in fact, if you go on down in Mark 6, and some of our listeners may want to do that later, that later on that night, he went out on the sea because he had sent the disciples on ahead. And Jesus came walking towards them about 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 meaning the number of worldwide evangelism. I find that interesting. He came walking to them in the middle of the sea, and it says he intended to go right by them. I'm in about verse 48 or 49. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and they screamed, scared out of their wits. Jesus was quick to comfort them. Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. And it says, let's go on in that, then those, because this brings up your point, Connie. I agree with you. As soon as he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. They were stunned, shaking their heads, wondering what was going on. They didn't understand what he had done at the supper. That's the point you were just making. They didn't understand what he had done at the supper. None of this had yet penetrated their hearts. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you feed thousands of people and it didn't penetrate their hearts that this was the Son of God?
And the same thing holds true for us in our prosperity.
Right.
If we don't know who God is,
yes,
we don't know him well enough to know what he wants for us.
Right.
Just like the disciples saw that he wanted to show compassion to those people who needed to eat.
Right.
Because they had been with him all that whole day. So if you don't know who God is or think that you are worthy enough to know God, we get this worthiness thing that keeps blocking us from seeking him.
Yes.
But to find him and to know him and then realize what he has for us, then he gives it to us.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a matter of allowing our hearts to be open to his move in our lives. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of us getting to the point where we go, okay, I get it, God. You want to multiply my finances. You want to bless me financially. You want to provide for me. You want to start with what little I have and whatever that amount is, and you plant, and we're going to talk about this more next week. You plant, you sow into the kingdom of God. You give, it says in Luke 6:38, and it give and it shall be given unto you. And so, you know, here's what they did. The disciples said, okay, here's what we found. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And it says that Jesus, I'm in about verse 39, that Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer. He blessed, broke, and gave, there it is again, gave the bread to the disciples, and the disciples in turn gave it to the people. He did the same with the fish. They all ate their fill. The disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. More than 5,000 people were at the supper, because it was 5,000 men plus women and children. So potentially he fed 15, 20,000 people by this miracle. Wow. And interesting that he had 12 baskets left over. And 12 is God's number of God's government in our lives. And these baskets, by the way, and I didn't even mention that this morning, they were about the size of about a 2-gallon basket. So if you think about that, they had 12 baskets times 2 gallons, 24 gallons of leftovers.
Brother.
Wow. Woo.
They could eat again.
They could eat again. Look at that. They could just, you know, leftovers, you know? Look at all the leftovers they had. But what does that story say to you, Connie, as far as this provision and God able to do things like this in our lives?
He's willing and able to do anything.
Right.
Anything. And, you know, I think sometimes we overlook those blessings that we do get, because they're not, you know, huge things that just knock you for a loop.
Right.
Or surprise you or shock you. But, you know, even so much as it's...
Good point.
You know, just little things like...
Yes.
Maybe you wrote a check or something, and it was just about payday, but it was just... You know, and somehow or another, something doesn't get deposited, or doesn't go to the bank, or
right.
You know, just doesn't get cashed, or whatever, and it saves you because you had to do something else, or you know,
right.
It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul sometimes to pay bills, and
right.
And you know, kind of jockeying things around, and
yeah,
and those blessings. I mean, just that your check didn't bounce, or.
Right.
You know, whatever. Or that, you know, you had to get groceries and you had that money there to get it. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm not advocating that, but
you're just saying,
nowadays,
yeah.
You know, we have to do things sometimes like that.
And God provides sometimes in very small ways that are significant. Somebody buys you lunch. I mean, you know, seriously, somebody buys you lunch, somebody, you know, has a blessing for you, or, you know, say, hey, come on over for dinner. You know, that's happened to me a lot lately, because things have been tough lately financially, and I've been putting these principles to work in my own life. And I can tell you, Connie, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because I have a little book now. It's a little black book I bought, and I have been recording every single one of those little things. You know, that seemed so, like, my sister invited me over for dinner, okay? Which seemed maybe insignificant to most people, but it's the blessing of the Lord. That's what what you're saying, right?
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't have to be, you know, you win the lottery, or
right.
You win Publishers Clearinghouse or something.
Right.
You know, it's not like millions of dollars, but, or somebody just does something nice for you.
Exactly.
You know, because you deserve it.
Right.
Whether you know it or not, you deserve it, and or that person feels like you deserve it.
Right.
They've been moved to do that for you.
Right.
And, you know, one of the hardest things to do sometimes is to accept gifts from other people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's hard.
Well, you know, and I will not mention this person's name, but in December, one of our people left a gas card on my windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having it so tough, and I thought, and they did not leave their name or anything, but I figured out who it was, okay? And I needed gas so bad in the car. I mean, just things were that desperate in just a few weeks back. And the next day, I pulled into the Hess gas station to get gas, and I thought, well, this car usually takes about $35 worth of gas, so I'm hoping there's like, you know, 35 or 40 on here. I had no clue. There, it didn't say how much gas, you know, what the amount was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there and I say to them, see if there's like 35 on here to fill my tank up. Okay. And the guy, you know, it automatically prints a receipt of what's left on the debit card or on the gas card. And he says, oh, yeah, you got a lot of $35 tanks here. And just kind of grinned at me. It was a $200 gas card.
See?
That took me 2 or 3 weeks at least, you know, and I was able to get to my appointments and whatever when I had no way of doing that, you know, financially, because I hadn't had a closing, hadn't had a paycheck for a long time. And there we're talking right there. And God prompted this person to put this gas card on my windshield. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what we're talking about. And it can be, that's a huge amount, $200, but it can be something small as somebody buying you lunch, you know? And when we begin to look through the eyes of expecting the blessing and knowing that those blessings are coming from God, God uses people to bless us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the blessings are coming from him.
Some of them don't even know that he's using them.
That's true.
You know, really. I mean, not that they would stop it, but still, you know, they don't even pay attention enough to realize that they feel like, you know, that I guess, I don't know, they just do it.
Right.
Last week, a good friend of mine from Lakeland's sister passed away, and I drove down to Wauchula for her funeral, and you know, they all wanted to go get something to eat afterwards. And you know, I was thinking, oh, boy, I'm not getting paid till Friday. You know, so we'll see. But I knew that a lot of the places down there were small and they didn't have real expensive menus, you know.
Right.
And so, anyway, we all ordered and everything. And there was a lady sitting next to me who was a very good friend of the person who passed away. They were high school roommates and high school friends. And she's done very well. She married a man who, you know, most of the people in Wauchula, their money comes from old citrus money.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The citrus crops and stuff. And
right.
So, you know, they're not like refined New York, you know, fashionistas or anything.
Right.
But they're, you know, and you'd never know talking to them how much, you know, a lot of them, that they're loaded.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Anyway, she was sitting there talking away, and she started grabbing tickets before the waitress even passed them out.
Right.
And she took our whole table.
Wow.
You know, there was probably 14, 15 people there.
Woo!
At our table.
Yeah.
So, and then she picked up a couple others over there, you know, and it was no big deal to her.
Right.
You know, she just wanted to do it.
See how God took care of you right then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we're going to play a song, and I know you're going to have to go in the hospital in just a minute because you're almost to work. But I decided to play Praise the Lord here because it's one of my old favorites, Connie, because it starts out when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And, you know, that is the story for so many people economically right now and financially. And I'm one of them. I had, you know, had some really rough years.
I
yes.
Mean, there's probably more people who are very prideful and not willing to admit it, but this economy has affected everybody.
It certainly has. Absolutely. And I think that when we admit it, and like the disciples said, wait a minute, here's all we have. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, you know.
But we have 5 loaves.
But we have that. Right.
Yeah.
And next week we're going to talk more about seed power, what that means, seed power and increase. And it's going to really bless our listeners and it'll bless us as we talk about it. But I think the role of praising God for that lunch that you got paid for, the gas card I got, the little things like that is critical in us understanding and appreciating the provision of God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he cares about every little detail.
And that's why we And that's why we just played that song, His Eyes on the Sparrow, because he does care about every detail. Connie, I love you. I appreciate you. You've been with this ministry a real long time, and you're such a blessing to us. And I know you're a faithful giver and a tither. And because of that, your life has been blessed over and over again. Is there anything else you want to say before we go to the song? Because I know you need to go in the hospital.
No, I'm good.
You're good? Okay.
Anything you want to ask me?
Well, I just want to ask you, don't you see... And I know your answer is yes, but don't you see the role that praising God in the midst of the struggle has to bringing down more blessings from God?
Yeah, because it helps keep our attitudes better. The more we get bogged down and tied up in knots over things that are wrong in our lives, it's time that's not being spent doing kingdom business.
Amen.
We're tied up in our own pity party doing this and that, and you're not seeing the needs of other people.
Praise God. And when God says give to somebody, you need to give to them, you know, and bless them, because who knows what's going on in their life. So praise the Lord. Connie, I love you. Have a good night at work. Okay, thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, praise the Lord.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For God in the heavens, praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Dear listeners, one of the hugest keys to God blessing you financially is that you begin to even look at those very little blessings in your life and say, God, thank you for that meal. Thank you for the gas in my car. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you, God, for the way you are providing for me. No matter what it is, and it may seem very small to you at the time, but God is providing for you. We are going to learn more about this in the next couple weeks, about providing and what God wants you to do, because there is a responsibility involved with prosperity, and we're going to learn more about it soon. And so that song, I love that song. It's one of my favorites, Praise the Lord. It's an old song by the Imperials. They made it famous many years ago. Praise the Lord for those chains that seem to bind you. Because so often we go down that pity party road. We go down that road of lack. And David said in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in the original Hebrew, it's talking about I shall have no lack. Because God is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. In other words, we agree with the word of God that says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. If you have a pen, write it down. Philippians 4:19 says this, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19, written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, saying, you know what? I've learned something. In fact, a few verses up from there, Paul says in Philippians 4 about verse 10, I've learned to be content wherever I am, whatever's going on. If I have a whole lot, if I don't have a whole lot, it doesn't matter. I've learned to be content and joyful. Now, didn't even touch on this today. One of the real keys of prosperity is your attitude. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier when we were talking about my daughter. But joy is a key to the victories and to the provision that God has for you. God wants you to be joyful. He wants you to thank him. He wants you to praise him for everything that he provides for you. If it's a job that you go to every day, or a job that you work from your home, or whatever it is, if you have a job, you have an income, whatever is coming in. I said last week to our people at Beacon, I want us to begin if your paycheck is electronically deposited, when you open your bank account and you see your paycheck is there, I want you to begin to thank God, because it was interesting here in Mark 6 that Jesus, being the Son of God, he lifted up what they had, the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. It says that he lifted them, his face to heaven in prayer. He blessed them, he broke them, and he gave them all this to the disciples, the bread and the fish, and they began to pass them out. And as the disciples gave away God's provision, more, it began to just multiply and multiply and multiply till they had all of these baskets, 12 big baskets full of leftovers. After they fed somewhere between 10 and 20,000 people, they still had leftovers, because God wants to abundantly supply your needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I hope you've received what we have taught today. I hope you understand that God's desire for you is that you prosper and be in health. And that is 3 John verse 2. 3 John 2. And it says this. God's desire, it says, my desire is that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's God's desire for you, that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So if it's a Social Security check, a welfare check, if it's a paycheck from a company, if it's a commission check, whatever it is that you are blessed with, maybe it's a free meal. You lift your hands up and you say, God, thank you. I praise you for your provision. And that's what it's all about. Today we have gone over and over, and I think we've made some good points. We are chosen by God to be his children. We're children of the King. We're children of the King, and his eye is on us. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your needs right now. If you have a financial need, go to him right now and say, God, here's my situation. And we're going to teach more on this next week and teach you even deeper things and truths from God's and from God's word. We invite you to listen to these radio shows. You can, and thanks to our wonderful engineer, Bill, they get up on our website the next day on Monday after each show. So if you missed last week, because we did have technical problems last week with the video, with the streaming, the web streaming, so you can go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can listen to that show in its entirety. And tell a friend, introduce them to the ministry of Beacon of Hope. Our radio outreach is a huge part of this ministry. We believe that God has ordained this, opened the door for this ministry. We want to hear from you. If you are blessed by this radio outreach ministry, getting ready to have our 200th show, you can write me personally, pastor@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. If you want to know more about my book, that's my third book that I've just written. And this one is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, about my daughter and her life of addiction that she has lived all these years. You can go to our website again, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com, and order it there. It's also on Amazon.com. You can also order it from Amazon.com, along with my other two books. You can actually just go to www.MarciaMcAllister.com, actually, and order them there, too. So we have a lot of different ways that you can get the books that we are publishing through Beacon of Hope Ministries, through our publishing division. So God is doing a great work. There's a lot going on. Let me tell you this real quick. Sunday mornings at 11 is when we have our worship service at Beacon of Hope. This past year, we were able to move into a brand new facility. It is 3700 Almerton Road. It is in a great shopping little mall. We're on the end, Suite 206. You can't miss us. Beacon of Hope Ministries, we've got signs up. You can't miss us. We're in the same little plaza as Five Guys, Poncheros, Papa John's, and all that good food. So you are welcome on Sunday mornings at 11. Wednesday night, Bible study that we talked about a little while ago with Catherine starts at 7 o'clock, and we're done about 8:30. 7 o'clock to 8:30 on Wednesday night at the same location, 3700 Almerton. A lot of people come from work and bring their dinner, and that's okay. So you can do that. We have tables set up. We spread our Bibles and our notebooks out, and we study and talk about the Word of God. You are welcome to Beacon of Hope Ministries, Wednesday at 7, Sunday at 11. Don't forget this radio show, 4 to 6 live, Clearwater time. Tell a friend or family member. We hope you can join us next week. I appreciate my radio team, Catherine and Connie, for joining me today. What a blessing they are. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my engineer buddy Bill in there, saying so long till next week, 4 o'clock, Tampa time. And we hope you can join us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a great week. God bless you. God bless you richly.
Safely to his side.